No Jumper, coolest podcast in the world, and today I'm very, very honored to have the one and only Dame Dash in my presence. How you doing, G?
I'm good, bro. How you doing?
Amazing. You just told me that this dog-inspired poopity scoop by Kanye West. That's a mind-blowing story that I absolutely did not know that we would be discussing. You want to elaborate on that just slightly?
Well, that's how I remember it. I remember I came to show Kanye this movie, The List, you know, and we went to the office, and, you know, Gov, he took a shit in his office, and Gov never takes a shit. And I was like, yo, Rock. Gov did a poopity scoop. So, you know, Rock cleaned it up and whatever, but then I heard it on the record. And at first I forgot, and then I was like, oh, shit, I forgot that shit, Gov. But a lot of times, a lot of people that I talk to that are rappers, you know, we have conversations, and I always hear things that I say in their records all the time. That happens all the time.
Right.
Everything. And I'm happy about that, even if it's poopity scoop.
Right. There you go.
You know, even that superhero shit. You know what I mean? Like, I remember having a conversation with Kanye about superheroes and all that. And, you know, we superhero and a lot of things, and I hear it in the record. And I love that, because that means that the conversations we have are empowering to the extent that, you know, he wants to actually put it on the record.
Right. Like, there's actually something that comes from it, because I feel like the worst thing that a rapper can do is just state generic ass platitudes the whole time and never really give you any part of themselves. The best rappers that we love the most are the ones that let you in from time to time.
Well, the ones that tell the truth. Mm. You know, any artist in any field, rapper, poet, any, it's about your point of view and standing behind that. It's not about really fitting in. It's just about being yourself.
Yeah. You want me to, I'm going to tell you one of my favorite lyrics of all time, and I don't even know if you're going to remember where this is from, but it's from our man Cam, and he said, Dame took me off the block from hand to handling the coffee pot.
Oh yeah, that was Dame Dash.
Legendary.
That was on my album.
That was an incredible moment. That was the mixtape era, right? That's why we can't find that on streaming services?
No, it's on Dame Dash. I just got to, you know, it's a lot of things out there. Like, that was my album, The Dream Team.
Right.
And that was me when I was like, I wish I could rap. That one, right?
That was the beautiful.
Yeah, so that was me making an album. And, you know, I always talk shit on raps and shit. And I was like, yo, if I could rap, I'd say this shit. So, you know, Cam and I really grew up together. Mm. You know what I mean? Like, you know, he's one of those people that I can honestly say I knew when we were children. And we grew up and based and talked about what we were going to do, trained for it, actually did it, laughed at people that, you know, went the other way. And, you know, so when we do these kind of records, it's really him just talking about our actual experience. That was a true, that whole verse that he put, everything he said was true.
Yeah.
Like down to like, you know, one time Boog's mom was mad and I had some work in the house and she called the police. So I got to call Cam, like, yo, take this ride with me. And I got birds in the car. And he like, yo, you know, because he said she called the police and all that shit was real. And I had a barbershop on 112th Street. And in the front, we saw weed. Dookie was like my lieutenant from the Dipset. You know what I'm saying? Dookie. And we had a barbershop in the front, and we saw weed in the back, chicken bags. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And we used to always argue about rap. You know, Dookie's favorite rapper was Kool G Rap. And, you know, he always was shitting on Jay. You know, that type of shit.
So were you there during the recording process of that song? What was the actual environment?
I made the song. That was my song.
Wait, so you were feeding him ideas or specific lyrics?
If you look at specifically, I was like, yo, if I could rap, I would say these things.
Yeah.
Because, you know, a lot of what the rappers were talking about back then were what the people that were behind the scenes were doing. Like, most of the rappers weren't doing anything as far as hustling. And, you know, it's a contradiction to be selling drugs and killing niggas and then be making records about it. Like, you go to jail for those things.
Yeah.
You know, today, the kids don't really understand that. You're starting to understand that now.
Right.
But you can't be doing criminal things, making records about it and making videos and expect not to go to jail. So they would be talking about the people that were funding them.
Right.
So basically a lot of, like, rapping, like back then, if you were a rapper, you weren't really considered that cool.
Yeah.
Like, the rappers weren't the toughest. They weren't the ones putting in that kind of work.
You think that's why you didn't actually go down that rapping lane, is because you didn't really think it was all that tight at that point?
I'm not a rapper.
It was just never an option.
I'm not a rapper, bro. Mm. You know, I'm a general.
A lot of people aren't rappers, but they don't seem to know that until much later in life. I feel lucky that I always knew not to rap.
They rapping for different reasons. Mm. So, like, some people might rap because they want to be famous because, you know, they're sick of investing in artists that don't invest back.
Right.
So they're like, look, you know, a lot of what this industry is effort. You know, the best rappers aren't the ones that win the most. It's the ones that are willing to sacrifice the most mentally, physically, their integrity, their soul. Like, to really be successful in this business, you have to give up a lot of your principles. Mm. And a real, real artist won't do that.
Right. All right, a quick word from our sponsor. You guys know that I'm a big fan of these Eagle Energy pens. They are actually sponsoring this episode, so huge, huge shout out to them. I've been using these for a while. It's a caffeine inhaler pen for athletes, artists, and busy people on the go. It's all natural, so it eliminates a lot of the things that you might be dealing with when you're dealing with something like Red Bull, coffee, that anything like that. This is a much cleaner experience. I've turned a lot of my friends onto this. The flavors are all natural and plant-based, no sugar, no calories. It's fast-acting. It hits you immediately. It's not like when you take a Monster Energy to the face and it might take you 30, 45 minutes to kick in. No, these things, it's an immediate rush of productivity straight to the face. No caffeine jitters. There's no crash. It's just a good way to get some energy if you ever need some during the day. So I would advise everybody out there to head on over to www.eagle.energy and use the code NOJUMPER22. You'll get 22% off of your order. Once again, that is www.eagle.energy and use the code NOJUMPER22 to get 22% off your order. Huge, huge shout out to Eagle Energy for sponsoring this podcast. Let's get right back into it.
I mean, Jim is on that song too, and I feel like Jim is sort of the definition of an artist who maybe wasn't poor. He wasn't the dopest rapper in the neighborhood,
That was your segue to Jim.
He made it happen. Why? I'm supposed to. Is it complicated bringing up Jim? I don't even know.
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
Why? What's going on with him right now?
You know, our relationship has been strained.
Oh, it has. Okay. Yeah. I don't even know about that.
Yeah, you should Google it. Jim. The thing is, I grew up with Jim when he was like 8. When I knew him as Jomo. And, but I didn't hang out with Jim. He was like, he was little dude, but he came around with Cam. So I remember when Cam brought him around, I'd be like, how do you know this dude? He was like, he used to be on the second floor.
Mm.
So Jim wasn't really around for the real hustling days with me, but Cam was.
Right.
You know what I mean? So, but Jim did see it, but he wasn't like, Cam used to be like riding with me. Like I'd be picking up work and getting pulled over by cars and all that other shit. Like Cam was the dude that was really nice at basketball.
Uh-huh.
You know what I'm saying? He was like, he had got MVP at 15 at the Polo Grounds and all that. And I only knew him really so well because I hung out uptown, but I lived in the East Side. And his cousin Bloodshed lived in 1199 in, I think, D building. I lived in B building.
Okay.
So I would see Cam uptown and I would also see him downtown.
Uh-huh.
And the things that were going on downtown were really funny to me. You know what I mean? Like when you were, like, if you were from the East Side, being able to be on the West Side was a big deal.
Right.
So I was on, like, the wildest block. I was on 142nd and Lenox. That was the lynch mob days. You feel me?
Danger zone.
Lou Sims is, like, my friend. You know what I'm saying? Like, I grew up, like, we worked. Like, a lot of what these rappers talk about, I actually know all of them. I was there. You know, I'm one of the ones that really was there that made it.
Right.
But I'm the only one that was really there that made it.
Right.
Like, I was really there.
Uh-huh.
You know what I mean? Like, these are my friends.
You see a lot of people sort of fronting like they were around for more than they were?
It's not fronting. They just glorify it. Mm. But I lived it. I survived it. Like, you know, the people that most people are really scared of that would be, like, run across the street and tuck their chain, those guys are my friends. And I'm not saying it like I'm tough, because I never had to carry a gun. I never had to kill nobody. But I survived it. You know what I mean? And eloquently. And I did it in a way where I always kick back to the people that actually protected me. I always lived by those morals and principles that protected me.
Right.
You understand what I'm saying? And you could check my file. You could go back to my block. You know, everybody knows. You know what I mean? It's not like a secret.
Do you look back on Cameron and look at him as somebody that you regret that you weren't able to be a bigger part of his career the entire way on like more of a business level?
I did everything I could do for him, bro. What do you mean? I did everything. I brought the block with me.
Right.
I did everything I could do for the whole block, for the whole Dipset. I look out for everybody. When I'm up, everybody's up. That's why I'd be fucked up. Because when I left hip-hop, I knew everyone was going to be fucked up.
Uh-huh.
And look what happened. Everybody's fucked up.
That's your feeling on, like, your peers, the era that you came up out of? Is that basically flourished from it?
A lot of them went backwards instead of forwards. They didn't evolve. The dreams that I had for them, no, that didn't happen. Everyone was supposed to be a billionaire. Everybody, not one person.
Right. Why do you think that doesn't happen? It seems like that's kind of the nature of capitalism, is that there's always one big dog and that it's very rare that you have a whole legion go up.
That's the nature of slavery. So there's always that one slave that gets spoiled by master so that he could deliver all the slaves, but he's the only one that benefits from it. You understand what I'm saying? So everyone lives vicariously through that one slave because they think they could get what that one slave has. But the reason why that one slave has those things is because he sold out every other slave. You understand what I'm saying? So he is in the house and he's humbled. He's always kissing a ring, but in return, he has all the other slaves kissing his ring or their ring. And that's really how the world kind of works traditionally. You know what I'm saying?
And what's the way around that in the sense of like, it's hard to
create your own house,
to expect anyone to really act as if they're not acting on their own self-benefit, right?
Nah, I think my thing has always been love. So when I win, it's not about me. It's about who, how many people win. So if I get to the top and everybody's at the bottom, I haven't won. If I get to the top, everybody that put in that work with me got to be at the top with me and on an equal level. They can't be working for me. We got to become partners. And just like, remember I was telling you this girl right here, Kelsey, she has her own television show, The Death Show. She works for me, building my dream. So I'm going to give her all my resources to build her own. Like if you don't have your own dream, if you can't fight for your own, you can't fight for me. And if I don't share, then I'm dead wrong because the sacrifices I'm making is so the people that deserve it don't have to feel the pain or what's considered pain that I do. Like, I look at myself as a superhero. I'm the guy that goes and fights everybody on my own, puts the whole world on the back, fight for the culture when everyone else won't, and I'm all right with it. But once I win, I let everybody in. Mm-hmm. Everyone that deserve it, that's like-minded, at least now. You know, I'm aware of my mission in this moment.
Well, has that changed a lot? How was your mentality on that subject different when you were a young executive?
I mean, I was a young executive. I'm an older, and I'm not an executive. I've always been a boss. Right. You know, I've never been a hired executive. I've always been a partner, a CEO, a chairman. I've always built my own. You understand? So the difference now is I was so young, and I was investing my point of view and my taste, and I was giving it to other people, and they were mixing it with their point of view. And if their point of view was selfish, I still would make money off it. So karmically, I would deserve any lesson that gets presented to me. Now, it's about me. It's about my point of view, and I can share it with who really deserves it with no resentment, and I can take my time, but it means you have to pay for it. It has to come out your pocket. It means you won't want to buy that chain or that car. You're going to want to buy a piece of equipment or a building, or you want to figure out how to distribute. And every time you make a dream come true like your own, so many other people's dreams come true that you want to make more dreams come true. And it's so much fun making dreams come true. It doesn't feel like work. Like, I'm literally 48 years old, and I don't think I've done a day's work my whole life. There's nothing I do for money that I would not do for free. Like, I have fun. It's an experience every day. I relax. My girl's pregnant. She's beautiful. I eat right. You know, my kids go on vacation. You know, I'm still relevant, and I don't even have to come out the house. You understand what I'm saying?
Right.
But I'm still making, I'm making moves. It's not like I'm still dwelling on my past. I'm always creating new shit. I'm always doing and looking into the future. Fuck the past. It's about, like, I'll learn from the past, but I ain't going to dwell on the past. I ain't going to sit there and sell the past all day. The past is a feather in my cap. The future is what I'm looking for. Like, shit, the shit I did 20 years ago, I can only do what I'm doing now. I can only have a television network. Like, imagine Dame Dash with a label or being a manager or dancing around on the stage, shaking a champagne bottle or in a little ass club fighting to get through a crowd. That would be demeaning for me because I did it when I was a child.
Right.
I don't want to rerun of what I did already. You feel me? I have to evolve. And the things that I have to do have to evolve. And they have to evolve as it relates to the message because I'm a person that influences a lot of people. So I'm also a person that wears it all on his sleeve like a tattoo.
Yeah.
So every lesson that I learn, I publicly learn it so other people don't have to go through it. And I warn people of who is going to stop them from getting to their dream, even when it doesn't behoove me, when it behooves the culture. So that's why I publicly sometimes punish people. Just because I want them to know, like, yo, that's the dude to watch out for. He gonna take from me.
Right.
Because he tried to take from me, but I smacked his nose off his face.
But you feel like that's why, do you feel like you burned a lot of bridges in the industry?
I burned bridges on purpose. Fuck an industry. I don't want to be a part of an industry. That's slavery. I want to be a part of selling out my culture, of making all the swag, selling it to another culture or giving it to another culture, and then having them sell it back to mine. To have someone from another culture be the head of black music, and I'm gonna acknowledge that, for me to call another man president that's not from my culture, that doesn't deserve it and can't dance, why would I ever be a part of that? I haven't been, that's not even, you can't even get no money in that world. If you notice, everyone in music doesn't get money from music. They get money from leveraging the celebrity that comes from music. It doesn't come from the music.
Definitely.
Do you?
I don't even recognize that industry. That's a laugh. That's not a real industry, bro.
Right.
That's entertainment. People think because they're let in a certain circle, because they make you laugh, or because you make them dance, or because you make them cool, that you become an elitist. Nah, you're the entertainment of an elitist.
Right.
And all you're doing is controlling everyone that thinks, that succumbs to being controlled by elitists. It, you know, slavery is a mentality. You know, that's what I think homie made the mistake, because I think he meant to say it's a choice now, not a choice then. But to get up every day, do what you're told, get a bunch of debt, let the government let them take your kids and brainwash them by mediocre people, and then have them tell you if you don't go to school and learn shit that don't matter, and have $40,000-$50,000 worth of debt, because the average can't afford to pay for college, not the elitist, the average.
Right.
That you don't fit in, or you doing something wrong. And then you fucking work your whole life to work that debt off, get more debt, and you only relax when you're 65, 70, slavery.
Couldn't be you.
I don't even understand that, but right. I see it all day. That's like a movie. I'm like watching a movie of people that are living in a world that, you know, because they're, you know, because everyone else is doing it, because you're born in the patterns, because you feel you don't have a choice, because you're going to stand out, that you think it's all right to do things that don't logically make sense, like work and not own.
Right.
And it's a message I've been saying from day one. So people have had to die and get old and get the fuck out of here so new people could come in and embrace this fucking real mentality of freedom and what it really is and what real wealth is and the abilities that we have and understanding our own wealth.
What, when you look at the industry and how the top people at all the labels and stuff still don't really seem like they're of the culture.
I haven't looked at that industry in a while. It doesn't yield.
But you've spoken about this a lot in the past that like, it doesn't seem like it's the people who are really of the culture that end up really being at the front line of the companies. Why do you think that is, that it hasn't really changed? Hip-hop's 40 years old.
Because you have a 50-year-old man taking advantage of a 20 or a 16-year-old that knows nothing about business, that most of their brain's not developed anyway. You know, when you're a kid, a rock star, you make motherfucking mistakes you're supposed to. You get a check, you're supposed to spend it. But a man ain't supposed to say, yo, go beef with another man, go get somebody killed to get it. They're not supposed to say, I got to own 100% of your ass, and you got to ask me every time you could be seen, heard, or even have an opinion for me to, you know, it's just the people that are older and in the business spend a lot of time manipulating the new guys.
Right.
And, you know, once I got hip to it 15 years ago, after I mastered the game, I was like, it's not a game. It's controlled. Like, when I leave the industry, every time I come back, even if it's something unrelated, I see the same exact people doing the same exact things. And then you might see the people that of the moment have like a record or something, they're running through. But the same people are doing the same shit, same industry. It's just grayer hair, badder breath, and fatter arms. And that's all it is, bro.
The arms specifically?
Yeah.
So I've always found this interesting, is that you're someone, you know, most people tend to go to bat for themselves. They go to bat for their company. They go to bat for their whatever, their little grouping. But you're somebody who's always, from day one, seemed to be willing to go to bat for hip-hop itself.
I go to bat for love, bro.
Mm.
You know, again, I'm a guy that just naturally is raised, just maybe from the blocks I'm from, to bully the bully, to oppress the oppressor, to make examples of motherfuckers that are pretending they're strong and they're weak because they want to take advantage of the weak. So in any place I'm at, I'm always going to defend love, bro.
Right.
Always.
I mean, you kind of epitomized that on that Bill O'Reilly segment. And it's very interesting because it's like, it seems like hip hop going head to head with the right wing conservative pundit type thing is like everyday shit now.
It was easy work. We were laughing at him.
That was so early on.
You know, what's funny is because I did Bill O'Reilly solo pause. We had and he edited the shit up. And so Cam called me and was like, yo, you know this dude, Bill O'Reilly? And I was like, yeah, why? And he was like, they want me to come on. I'm like, nope, I'm coming with you and tell them they have to air it live or else we're not doing it because they're going to edit it up. And that's why we got his ass. Pause.
Yeah. But that was like, it just seemed important because it was like, okay, we're not just going to let these guys go in on our culture. We're going to fucking step in and have fun with it, really, and make a crazy viral moment out of it. I'm not sure to what extent you realize how big that was going to be at that time.
Yeah, I mean, again, you know, we're like a glitch in the matrix. We've always enjoyed breaking patterns, you know, standing out. No one wants to be atmosphere in a crowd. So we always know, and I've always known, that everything we're going to do is going to make history. So, you know, you could rewind back to my past and ask people around me what I said I was going to do. I'm a little behind schedule.
When you look at who...
The betrayals have set me back a couple of years, but I'm almost back.
Okay.
Meaning to where I want to be. I'm launching a television network completely independent, 24 hours a day. I already launched a streaming service. All original work. No one does that.
Yeah. There you go. Who even put you onto that hustle? Like, people who do the music thing are people that probably don't really know too much outside of that, right?
I studied it, you know? Like, you know, I talk to people and the way they launch things. Like, I'm, you know, I'm looking for the big lick. Like, I can't make $1 billion selling a record. I can't make $1 billion selling a fucking clothing company unless everything goes really good and I have $1 billion, you know, to fucking in credit, which I don't. So, you know, the only thing that I saw that could make me $1 billion, because I 40 I spend, 30 I spend, 8 I spend, and I always don't spend it on cars. I spend it on my dreams. You know, I spend it on salaries. I spend it on, you know, art and shit like that, living life. The only thing that could yield me that building, that billion to me, was to sell a network, or at least have a network that generates at least $100 million a year. And, you know, 10 times that is $1 billion. And, you know, that's how you develop what it's worth. So, and I like, I'm good at it. Like, I'm good at directing. You know, I know the game. I've been making movies for years. You know, I did, you know, I put, I took Kevin Hart off a stage and put him in his first movies. You know, I funded Lee Daniels. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, it's not like hip hop has been my biggest scores. Like, I've discovered mega people in every industry, or at least been that stepping stone that's given them that funding. And then once they get there, they just get missing.
Right.
You know, so that's when I had to learn to stop investing in people and just to invest in me and my skills. And it's like, yo, I see the skim out here. It's crazy. So if you don't really know this game, something that should cost 10 racks costs you 100. Something that should cost $1 million costs you 10, 20. And I'm the master of a lot of flash, no cash, meaning, like, you know, I'd rather show you something than talk about it. And if I spend $1 million, it looks like I spent 10.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Period. So I know the game. But being able to not only make a movie, make TV shows, make docuseries, to have, you know, I have a 5,000 square foot facility in Burbank the last 2 years. I've been bleeding for the last 10 years, spending money, not making it, spending money and still having to pay a lot of bills, you know. But I chose that life because I'm loving it. I'm doing what I got to do because I can see the future. I'm so far ahead of everybody. I could tell them my plans. Nobody could say they could launch a network right now and 24 hours of it is original programming. No one knows how to direct fund that shit, direct that shit, distribute that shit, package that shit. Y'all don't know how to do that. You can't do it. And if you learn, you need about, you know, you're going to need some backup. It ain't going, you know, and it's me and my girl did that, you know, from diabetes, cooking shows, big movies, all of it. You know, we're there. We're culture, so we don't have to buy it. We just be it. You don't have to buy it when you could be it. Right. And I'm not giving it away to give it back. To, you know, it makes no sense for me to have to beg and get patted on the head and all that other shit and kiss a ring to get it back. Like, people don't validate me to make me feel good. I validate me. And other people, different kinds of thinkers, think when another culture validates you, that makes you a big shot. That makes you a fucking embarrassment to me. Because you kneeling to people that shouldn't be knelt to, and you delivering people that don't deserve it, and they're not yielding from it.
We've been having that conversation a lot about the designer thing in terms of people not supporting the community, supporting these brands that blatantly don't give a fuck about hip hop or the culture. How do you feel about that?
I mean, it's normal. Exploitation is normal, bro. It's if you let it happen. You can't complain about other people. You just got to do something about it. I'm not really a complainer. I'm an exposer, and then I'm going to bring that ruckus, and I want that smoker, and then I'm going to do it myself. You know, I don't give a fuck about your house. I don't want to be in it. I want my own. I like to walk around without my clothes and go in the refrigerator when I feel like it. I like to smoke. I like to jump in the pool, and I want my pool hot. I like to control my environment, and I like to be able to kick you out legally.
Right. Facts. When you look at the whole Trump thing, you've obviously been someone who's been involved with politics, giving a shit about that, but has that fundamentally changed the way that you view politics? Do you think this is just more of the same? Is the situation more
politics
dire?
Politics is a distraction. Bottom line is, I don't care what president is in there, I'm getting mines. I'm not dependent on government to support me. You know, I got to pay my bills regardless because I make bread. But I'm in a business that's recession-proof. It's entertainment. So I'm all right with it. But I do think it's entertaining. At the end of the day, you know, Congress controls everything.
But you can look at Trump and say that that's entertaining, whereas a lot of people look at him and think of it as just genocide, terrible. It's the destruction of the community in a lot of ways.
He controls mentality and nothing else. So if some people are stupid and listen to that dumb shit, you know, then that's on them. But like, physically, he can't really physically do too much. Like, to get a law passed, there's a lot of other people that it's like a bill that turns into a law, and Congress got to pass that shit. And if, let's say, the president overrides it, then Congress can override him. So at the end of the day, Congress runs the country, bro.
But, you know, a lot of people would say, look at the detention camps, look at the...
Yeah, well, that shit is fucked up.
Yeah, but I mean, that's stuff where he didn't have to go through Congress to get a lot of things changed there.
That shit is fucked up.
Yeah.
And that means some things that need to get unchanged. So there's definitely things that are fucked up. He's doing a lot of fucked up shit. He's saying a lot of fucked up things. It's fucked up.
It's like the new generation's first time of really experiencing how fucked up politics is, though, because, I mean, we've been thinking about this and having these conversations about Nixon and Bush and everybody along the way, right?
But the good thing about it is we're understanding the game better. You know, it's making us aware of politics. And if you don't get involved, what will be the recourse? It's like, if we're not actively getting involved and understanding how to affect it, complaining means nothing.
Right.
So not only knowing how to vote, but actually knowing how to lobby, knowing how to get a law passed. You know, not just talking shit all day. Like, I just don't like shit talkers all day. Like, you could complain about something, but if you're not doing nothing, I don't want to hear that shit. What are you doing? Not what are you saying, not what your observation is. If you don't like it, what are you doing? I had a congressman in my house the other day, and I actually got to talk to a congressman, Andre Carson. And I'm able to really understand the politics and what can I do to help if I don't like something. You know, what's the game? Like, if you're going to, you can't really complain about a game that most, like, most people even understand politics. They just complain about what everyone else is complaining about. See, what I don't like is when people complain while everybody else is complaining. You're just jumping in the game. You might not even mean that shit. You're going with feeling. I want to see people complain about these issues before everybody else is complaining about these issues like I do. Like all the motherfuckers I called out years ago that's getting caught now. You understand what I'm saying? Like, none of my message and all these motherfuckers that's getting caught now, I've been always saying it years ago when it wasn't popular. Like, it's hard for me to take people seriously that only talk about things when everyone else is talking about it, good or bad. What I want to know is, I don't care what you say. What you doing? Are you about that action or are you about that talking? If you're about that talking, I don't understand you. You're not a boss. You're not a general. You're a soldier. No bueno. It starts to sound like Charlie Brown's fucking voice, his teacher. Womp, 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 womp. If you're not talking, no, get out and not be a victim and go get it. If you're not, you know, I'm not a person that gets abused. I'm a person that I'm an abuser. You understand what I'm saying? Like, right. But for good. Like, I, you know, it's not like I'm sitting around bullying. I'm not the toughest, but my brain is tough. My moves, my work is good. So I'm not worried about all that complaining.
It feels like a lot of people, though, when it comes down to like how it comes down to like how they're viewed. Like, it might be that you had those opinions early on, or you might have known about something before other people, but it's really about who's able to sort of present the image of being somebody who's concerned with certain issues publicly.
What is image? That's acting.
Right. It's all, but you have to be concerned with optics in the public eye, right?
Who have I ever been concerned about the optics in the public eye, bro?
But do you think that that might be kind of defeating in the long run if you're not thinking
I'm changing
regard?
Things. Everything I've done, let's say I haven't made history every day for the last 30 years. Yeah, maybe. Right. But because I'm seeing the mentality that I've been talking about 10 years now ago starting to come to fruition. There was a time when I talked about being independent and people literally looked at me like I was out of my mind.
Right.
You saw the radio show. Now look at what's happened since then. I know I was a part of that. You know, right. I'm that guy. You have to stand out. You have to be different. You have to break patterns. You don't want to fit in. You got to fight fearlessly, unapologetically. You got to be a man. You got to be a, you know, that's what a gangster is. Not nobody that bullies people. People that protect love fearlessly.
Definitely.
And don't lie to get there, that don't cheat. Like, if you cheat, you lost. Like, if you think you got there and cheated, you know you lost. Like, there's a lot of people that think they're doing well and whatever, but to me, they don't have shit because they sold their friends out because they didn't do it the right way. That's not the way we talked about the plan. If you cheated to get there, you know you just sold the fuck out. That's not a W. That's an elbow.
But don't you think that most people end up sort of, it seems like most people, they end up abandoning their team or their original people that they came in the game with as time goes by?
There's such a thing as evolving. You don't have to stay with somebody forever. You know, that's not the case. But robbing them to get there, you know, that's not the good thing. You don't have to stick with people all day. You just have to be fair.
Oh, man. I gotta crack this one open. There's a big conversation going on about this NFL thing. Do you think that Jay did Jermaine Dupri dirty with this situation that's been described multiple times? I just seen Funkmaster Flex talk to JD and confirm that that's what happened. I'm sure you feel some type of way about this.
I mean, everybody knows Jay ain't shit. Like, that's, everyone knows that. You know what I'm saying? Like,
but does that surprise you at all? Because that seems particularly shady.
Listen, if you ask anyone in the industry, it's a common knowledge that Jay ain't shit. You know what I'm saying?
Define like, ain't shit for our audience.
He's about the bag. You know, we all know that. It's about he's self-preserving, period. Like, you know, it's just that the people he does it to don't have, like, Beyonce next to him. They don't have that kind of a power. But, you know, this dude here, everyone's looking. Mm. So I just think he kind of, like, you know, like, he used to do that shit. Like, he's like, it's not even, like, a secret. You know, he'd do that shit to me with girls. Like, you know, he'll be like, you know, I'll be talking to a chick and I'll be like, yo, she asked me to do this, that, and the third. And he'd be like, I wouldn't do it. And then the next day he's wifed her. And I'd be like, oh, that's some funny shit.
Right.
You know what you're dealing with when you deal with Jay. You know, Jermaine Dupri, I feel like, you know, again, for me to talk, it's hard because I can't completely be objective, but it's the news of today. Huh. But I just think if you look under the hood, all the answers will reveal themselves. There's always been a pattern with that dude. You know what I'm saying? So it is what it is. Y'all know what it is. It's just everyone always forgives him.
Yeah.
You know, he's like Trump in that way. So he could do anything, say anything, you know, and you know, look at it. And everyone goes with, I guess, they just go with the populace sometimes, you know. But again, it always reveals itself in some way.
I mean, having a lot of legendary musicals absolve you from a lot of sins. We see that with Kanye in the sense that if Kanye wasn't the legendary musician that he is, he would have been out of here a long ass time ago for some of the shit that he said. There's nobody else culture that could really get away with what
Kanye
he said.
Kanye's about that work.
Right.
So, you know, you can't discredit how much work Kanye did in fashion.
Mm.
You can't discredit that. That's not an easy thing to do.
That as well. Like, I mean, you could kind of throw that under the umbrella. But what you have to understand
is
art.
Fashion is a completely different kind of respect because there's a discipline that comes with it. And it's where the elite are. So as long as you're in fashion, you're around all elite all over the world.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, the respect comes from you have to lose a lot to gain. Building a brand is not easy. So what he's done in fashion is almost way bigger than what he's done in music. And just because people in music don't understand that doesn't mean it's not happening.
Yeah.
You know, he's like the thing about it is Kanye is the kind of guy like with me, he's my friend. And he's the kind of guy that does shit where I could be mad at him. And then he does some shit I can't be mad at him.
Mm.
You know what I mean? That's just Kanye. But at the end of the day, Kanye ain't going nowhere. You know, because regardless, he says things, but he got that work. You know, he's giving you consistent work, whether it's music or whether it's, you know, public problems, which are interesting, whether they're, you know, crazy or not, or whether it's, you know, fashion, sneakers. You know, he's a part of a circle of more famous people that know how to keep famous. Like, that's always the thing. If famous people stay together, you're never not going to be famous.
Huh.
And there's a family of famous people, and they all work together.
Right.
So no matter what they do, there's always going to be a certain, they can leverage celebrity at all times. So there's nothing wrong with that, but he gives that work.
Right.
You know, I don't have to agree with everything he does, but what I can say, he's fearless. And, you know, he might not look out for his friends the way his friends want him to look out, but at the end of the day, he does look out.
Right. Do you think that
he's the only one?
Yeah. Do you
think Kanye's the only one?
Is he setting the stage for him to not? You know, it kind of happens with everybody over time that maybe their music becomes less and less relevant. But with him setting the stage with Yeezy and everything,
Kanye,
you think that he's going to be able to carry through
Kanye's
that trajectory?
Not music no more, bro. He's fucking 40 something years old. Music is for the young.
But his music's still huge.
He's the Rolling Stones. Mm. What I'm saying is, to be that age and be that consistently relevant in music is a very big deal. You can't like say he hasn't been around the last 20 years.
No, yeah.
But he also gives a lot of other things. So it's not just music. And that's not, if he doesn't make another record, he's going to be all right. All he got to do is make sneakers.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? Or make movies. Or he's just a creative guy. He's an anomaly. Like most, Kanye doesn't exist. There's only one Kanye. You understand? Period.
It's easy for people to forget the extent to which Kanye was laughed at when he said that he was going to do what he's basically done with the clothing side of things. There was so many years of him
Everybody
bitching about
laughed at,
Louis Vuitton not wanting to work with him, rah, rah, rah. All that stuff seemed like some pie in the sky ass ideas. Now you look at what he's accomplished.
It
it's like
me, bro.
He did everything.
Listen to me. When Louis Vuitton gave him that sneaker, that's when I gave him props. Because Louis Vuitton did not at that time work with black people at all.
Mm-hmm.
Like they're French. LVMH is tough, bro. They just had to bend to our culture because, you know, luxury fucking activewear and streetwear, which I feel I'm the fucking pioneer of, it's where everybody's going. There's no choice right now.
Mm-hmm.
You understand what I'm saying? But to back then, because I was doing it. You know, I did it. I did a fashion line. For, you know, Rachel Roy is a business that I own, $100 million business no one says shit about. Because they just don't understand how hard fashion is and the discipline that comes with fashion. You understand what I'm saying? So Kanye is just, it's like me. I understand how people don't appreciate everything he does because people don't, they're not savvy in every business. So if you really knew movies, you would say, damn, Dame is ill. He directs. There's people that are just famous for directing. That's just like an ad, you know, that's just one of the things. That's nothing, Dame direct. Dame produces. He paid for it, you know? You know, Dame would get on the stage behind the camera. Or that's not normal shit. You understand? But because you don't understand that industry doesn't mean it's not huge in that industry. Kanye's huge in fashion because of fashion. You think the people that know about Kanye listen to his music? All the 100% of his fan base is listening to his music?
I mean, but his fan base is so big that everybody knows some Kanye shit, even if it is, they have a handful
of
songs.
There's a lot
of
people that know more about his headlines than
his
music.
These days, for sure, yeah. There's a lot of that,
period.
Too.
Yeah. That's the world we live in today, where it's not about what you do, it's about how famous you are for what you do.
Right.
Like, half of the people, like, a lot of the times, like, I'm on the gram, I can see shit. I know more about my experience with them on the gram before. I know people more on by how they act on the gram before I hear their music. I judge them as a person now before I hear them. Before you heard the music, then you go, oh, that's how he act. Now you get to actually see the person's all this other shit. You ain't got to know them or nothing. And you don't never have to hear their music. You understand what I'm saying?
Uh-huh.
Like, everybody that hears about a Chris Brown problem, you think they listen to Chris Brown music? Not everybody.
But the reason why they even care about his issues is because the music is so popular.
You think everyone that cares about Kim Kardashian watches their show?
No. But that's how big she is that you don't even have to be a fan of anything
that
she does to know who she is.
That's how big Kanye is. You don't have to hear his music to be hearing Kanye's name every day. That's what I'm saying. There's no, I'm not judging it. I'm saying you can't, first of all, I don't care what anybody says. I'm in music. Music is initially a young man's sport. It's about what's going on in the younger generation. I remember being the young guy and laughing at that 35-year-old. And like, mind your business, you old. You're the old man at 35. I'm 49 now. So original to me, like, I want to know what the kids, or what the people on the concrete, you know, it's really not such an older person's sport. At a certain age, you're maintaining a brand. And you're evolving your brand. Like, think about the rappers. Think about what rapper you know today that's hugely famous that's not married to a famous woman. Or is not a movie star.
So, like, we can't count Nas? He's not hugely famous enough?
I wouldn't say they talking about him every day like that. I think Nas does a lot. And I love what Nas does. He's a cool dude. To me, like, I think he's eloquently been the quintessential hip-hop legend.
But if Nas really wanted to be that
answer
person...
Answer my question, though. Answer my question.
What was it? I'm trying to think of, like, huge stars who don't...
Who aren't married to a high-profile relationship.
I don't know. I mean, that's what people want to see from you eventually.
That wasn't my question.
I don't know.
The
I'm
question was name
one.
One. Exactly. You can't. So that tells you it's not about the music, bro.
Right. There you go. Well, what about, like, a Dr. Dre? You got a regular girlfriend or a regular wife.
They don't talk about Dre every day.
But who the hell do they talk about every day from the older generation? It's a very small handful of people who can survive through to that time.
No, they have to be in a relationship.
That's interesting. Yeah, love and hip hop rules all, that mentality, huh?
It's bigger than love and hip hop, bro.
That's just a manifestation of what people want.
I mean, it depends on what channel you're watching.
I mean, I'm going to be honest with you. I watched like 2 episodes of love and hip hop in my life.
You did 2 more than me.
Oh, that's funny. Okay, but so in a broader context, we're talking about the JD side of things and everything. How you feel about Jay partnering with the NFL? Is this consistent with what you were saying before?
I don't feel nothing, bro. I'm not getting that. Bottom line is, I don't even know what the deal is, bro. It sounds like he took a job, you know, and they made an announcement and it backfired. That's what it sounds like to me. I don't know what the deal is. Like, it's the NFL putting out. What's the deal?
The deal is just that he's working with the NFL to some extent.
Be very specific. What is the deal?
I mean, he's partnering with the NFL to help co-produce it or whatever.
See, you're doing this.
Yeah.
What is the deal?
I don't know. It's optics that
so
we don't
know.
So
why are we talking about shit we don't know?
Right. Well, it seems like everybody's talking about
it. But it's, again, that's the facade. We don't even know what the deal is and everybody's talking about it.
Well, we don't know what the deal might turn into,
bro,
but it's safe for us to assume that
again,
we want
to
guess what it's going
to
be, right?
When you make an announcement about a deal, there's specifics about it. Give me some specifics. This is a very vague announcement that everyone's talking about. I don't do that.
But maybe that's because they realized there was going to be
why.
So much blowback.
Again, if I don't know the deal.
They wanted to be vague
again,
to start, perhaps.
Again, listen to me. You're getting off the point. You're veering. This is the point. I don't know the deal. So why am I talking about something I know nothing of? And why is everybody else talking? Why was there an announcement about a deal nobody knows? This is the deal. We made a deal. That's not real, bro. That's a cartoon.
Right.
We got to get real with, you know, this distractions and shit. I don't feel no way. Jay plays like Jay. That's what he does. We're used to it. He just did it at a bigger level. Who cares? I think, you know, it is what it is. If y'all choose to believe, that's on y'all. I don't care about a deal. I like I said, if I'm going to hear about a deal because I'm a businessman, my business, my boss thoughts are, what's the deal? And what could the deal be? So I'm like, what is he, like, producing the Super Bowl? Is he DJing? Like, what is it? Are they making albums? Are they becoming a record company? Like, what the fuck is the deal?
But I mean, the whole conversation
what
is about
is the deal?
Potential disloyalty
Listen,
Kaepernick.
You're talking at a different vibration.
Right.
Business, because that's all I care about. What's the deal?
That's all you care about?
In this moment, and I know what Jay does, so I'm not surprised. Like, it's not hard to close a deal when you walk in the room with Beyonce. You could close a deal. You understand what I'm saying? Like, she's the biggest firepower in that moment. It's easy. The celebrity trumps everything.
Right.
But the thing is, y'all never scrutinize the details. Because if the deal is he's producing a TV show or whatever the fuck he's producing for him, that sounds like a job. But I don't really care. But to me, if I got $1 billion, I ain't taking the job. I'm coming in, I'm going to buy a team, and I'm going to be flossing. I ain't got to have no, I'm going to come in, I'm going to do whatever I got to do. That's what I'm going to do. So my point is, everybody's talking about a deal that they don't know what it is. I'm not saying the betrayal is, we all know that. Y'all just mad he betrayed him. Why y'all not mad he betrayed everybody else? How many betrayals we talked about with Jay? This ain't the first one, but just the first one we talking about because the only one affected us. So for me, I'm like, big deal. He fucks everybody over. Jermaine Dupri's stupid for listening to him. That's what I think. We all know Jay. So once he does what he did, how he did Rockefeller, why do you think he'd do anything else? That's Jay. Those principles don't mean anything. Jay runs with the bag, period. That's it. All right, cool. So if you fuck with that man, that's on you.
When people frame...
What's the deal?
I don't know.
Okay, so now we're establishing that we don't know what the deal is. Let's not talk about it.
Okay.
We could talk about the betrayal, but he didn't betray me today. But, you know, of course, I'm not going to be a wet, wounded duck and be like, oh, this nigga, you know, he played Rockefeller, he played Biggs, he played everybody. Blah, blah. No. We all know we did that. Y'all just wasn't saying shit about it.
But when people frame that the Rockefeller split up as just him doing what he had to
do for his business,
do you feel offended by that? That he was just acting in his own self-interest at that time?
Hell yeah, I'm fucking offended by it. What do you mean? Everybody knows that.
Right.
Of course, I mean, he shitted on us.
But
you
fired people in your day, or you've split off with people that you were working with.
No, not split up.
You
bro.
Fired people.
No, listen, I'm not doing this. We all know what Jay did and how he did it. You know, there is no more Rockefeller. Rockefeller was rolling. Before Jay decided to say, I don't want Biggs and Jane down with it.
Right.
There was Kanye, there was Dipset, there was fucking State Pride. We were rolling. Is there a Rockefeller now?
No.
Who benefited from this?
Him.
Okay, so then you say it.
Yeah.
You understand? But don't make me that guy.
Right.
I'm doing other things. This is 20 years ago, bro. Like, I got over that shit. I was tight. And because, again, we're morally different. So he went that way, the way where, you know, he does things this way. And all his friends end up working for him. And I go this way where the people I love end up being my partners. And I fight for the culture. I don't care what he's doing. I don't care what he's doing. I promise you, bro. His name don't come up other than every time somebody sends something to me and be like, damn. I'd be like, all right. Well, I don't care, bro. I don't make no money from that. But what I am mad about is I haven't seen a Reasonable Doubt royalty in like 10 fucking years. I can say that. And I want to know where my money is. And
right.
All these deals that's getting done with Reasonable Doubt, I didn't approve them. So whoever's distributing them, I didn't approve none of that shit. See, what happened was about 10 years ago, I was like, yo, where's our Reasonable Doubt royalty? So I looked at a bank account and I found like 400 racks. So I was like, yo, Biggs, I found some money. And he was like, well, I ain't touching it. I need it. So I went and snatched all of it. Like, you know, maybe 200 grand over, you know, but I considered it a loan against, you know, and I was mad because nobody told me. You know what I'm saying? But, like, I guess they figured because of that, they ain't got to ever pay me. It's just not enough for me to go chase right now, but I do want my Reasonable Doubt bread. I do want that.
So he owns that entirely at
no,
this point?
No, come on. You sound crazy. I own it.
Right.
And Jay owns it. And I'm not sure about that other piece.
Okay.
You know, but I know I ain't got no money from it. And I didn't approve nobody distributing it. And I don't know what the fuck that is.
You still close with Biggs?
Nah.
No.
Nah. Last time I saw Biggs, he ran out.
Ran out.
Broke my heart.
Like, left the room?
Like, left. Ran the fuck out. Like, wouldn't speak to me. Rocky was so, like, yo, you got to go say something to him because we was in a very close environment. And we got a friend in common. So I was like, yo, what up? And he was acting funny and shit. I'm like, why you acting like that? You know what I'm saying? And we was, I was like, yo, come sit over here. He wouldn't come sit down or nothing. He wouldn't give a speech. And Rocky was like, yo, you got to go talk to him. So I was like, yo, what's up? How your family? And we ended up kind of arguing and shit, and he ran out. He wouldn't take a picture with me and shit.
And you don't really know what he's so pissed off about?
Nah.
Yeah.
I don't know what they so mad about. All I did was make everybody rich.
Interesting.
Yeah, you don't find it interesting that, you know, like things that happen with Rockefeller, they just don't include my name? That doesn't make sense. You know? Period. Like, you know, sneakers I designed. You know, the Rockefeller sneaker, I designed those. I got a pair last. You know, even out of respect, the clothes, I didn't even get sent no clothes.
Does that worry you that you might be being erased out of the history when we're looking?
Don't worry me at all. We're worried. You can't erase me, bro. I'm Dame Dash. I documented everything.
You can't erase you, but you could definitely imagine that in the future. Like when you look at the NWA movie. NWA movie, a lot of people were kind of like smeared, painted in weird ways.
Do you hear what I'm doing? What is the business I'm launching?
The streaming service, the TV station.
It's a 24-hour television network.
Mm-hmm.
How could they erase any of my history?
Right.
I control history because I've taken history into my own hands. No one controls my narrative, bro. The same way they talk about, I'm the one that they're still talking about that's not in a high-profile relationship because when I get with a woman, she becomes high-profile. I don't have to do that.
Uh-huh.
You understand what I'm saying? I get to get with the woman I love. You know what I mean? I'm living every day. I want him next to me every second. You know, nobody controls the narrative, and those aren't things you worry about. I make history in so many ways. There's no erasing Dame Dash in Rockefeller. You know, I got lawsuits with so many people, bro, that try to erase what I did. Like this movie, The List, that I directed, this fucking lawyer, Chris Brown, and this dude, Josh, and the other kid. What's his name? Mike Munster. Like, literally, I direct a whole movie, edit it, bring the people, they steal the footage, try to go copyright it, and just say that they did it and take the credit for it. We in court now, depositions and all that. They, you know, every time people try to rob, everyone tries to rob. That's what the history you get. Think about this. You see how they are, you are saying that it looks like they're trying to erase. That's how you see it.
Uh-huh.
That's the tone you feel. You ask that question because you must see that.
Too.
So that's how you're seeing it.
Yeah.
So if that's happening with me, what do you think has happened to real history over and over again?
Yeah, exactly.
Even ancient history. Like, do you even understand that, you know, the only history that we know of, like the world is billions, Earth is billions of years old, and we only got like a couple of hundred million. That's literally like 5 minutes of history that we have.
Uh-huh.
And we think we're the only civilization that are here first. We don't talk about the Anunnakis. We don't talk about the Emerald Tablets or the Dead Sea Scrolls. The real fucking history, and they don't teach it to us. That's why guys like Billy Carson, Forbidden Knowledge, I fuck with him. I'm talking about what's going on Mars, how we really got here. I don't like what's presented to us. History has always been filtered down. That's why they teach it to us to enslave us. That's why they make us think we're number two when we're really number one. This whole shit is a facade. And it's always a motherfucker that sells us all out. So that they can benefit and everybody else has to suffer.
And people's vision is very short-sighted, right?
I mean, you know, that's what we were. That's the way we were, our DNA. You know, we were a genetically modified race made to be slaves. The Anunnakis fucked with our DNA. We're a cousin of our original race. But that's another story and another show.
Yeah, that's a lot right there. I don't know about
that. Yeah, but that's what I don't go with what's presented. I go with what's not presented. I'm disruptive. So if they gave me a book to read, I'm going to read the book, but I'm going to read the other book that was translated from. I want to see them scrolls. I want to see them scriptures. I want to see them tablets. You understand what I'm saying?
We talk about the
concept. That's how bosses think.
We talk about fake news a lot in this day and age. Is that something that stands out to you? Because, you know, the media is able to write its own narrative, period. The media might do it even if the participants aren't interested in erasing people from history.
So what about it?
How do you feel about it? Did you feel like...
I don't really spend time thinking about those things, bro, because I'm doing too much to control the narrative. Like, you know, victims think about being victimized. You know, motherfucking generals think about who they're going to punish next. You know, I don't wait for you to come to me. I'm coming to you. You understand what I'm saying? And that's the mode I'm in. I'm in disruptive mode. I'm in let's free everyone slave-minded mode. And I've been in that mode. Every time you've had a mic in front of me, I'm always talking about us, not me. You understand what I'm saying? My message is consistent. It's in style now. I've been doing it for decades. Google it. There's no blackballing me. I burn bridges because I never go back. Going back to me is like being back in the ocean. I'm a drown. I always go forward. I burn those bridges because I don't want to be on those punk bridges. Those ain't bridges that's going to get me to a billion or my grandkids to a billion. You understand what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Like every single time I have a new child, I build a new empire. You know? So Boogie was born into Rockefeller. And Ava and Tallulah were born into Rachel Roy, fashion empire. Mm. This baby's going to be born into my media empire. And then I changed my nickname. I'm Billy Pablo III. I did a rock and roll project, by the way.
Really?
Yeah.
Did you decide that you needed to have another kid, that now was the time, or is this just serendipity?
We've been trying for 5 years. We got a couture baby. We got IVFs.
What's that?
You know IVF?
No.
It's when, you know, they do all the work, like they put the seed, the man and the woman all together, freeze it up, and then they place it in there. So we did that. It was a long journey. We've been covering it. Like the type of...
So you have a baby on the way that...
It's in there.
It is in there. Okay. I was just making sure.
Yeah.
I didn't know if it was like a tube or something that was stored in currently. I don't know how that works.
No, I didn't say I was having a test tube baby, bro. You got to get outside a little bit.
I just don't know a lot about procreation. I've been trying so hard to not have babies for all these years.
That means you need a girl.
Oh, I got a girl. I got 3 years in.
She ain't got no babies?
No rubber either, and I've been fucking skating on having one so far.
Oh, you're on the way. You need to get some advice. You're on your way to fucking IVF.
It's going to happen. Oh, you I'm shooting blanks? Yeah.
Well, I wasn't shooting blanks, bro. You know, I got four kids.
I do believe I have the firepower. I've knocked a few chicks up in the past and had to take care of it.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
You should stop going raw dog.
No?
Pause. Yeah.
Man, I can't wear a condom. I'm a grown-ass man. It's 2019.
You sound crazy, man.
Kids, I ain't telling you to do it. I'm just saying for me personally, I don't know.
No, you sounding crazy right now. There's a lot. You know what the problem is with the world today that's different? Not the problem, because, you know, I can't judge it, but STDs was, like, horrifying, you know, when I was a kid.
We're not scared anymore.
It's like everyone is cool with herpes. Mm. It's like that's just the new shit to have. And it's like I never...
the new shit to have.
You know what I'm saying? It's normal. And I'm not from that world. I've been living in a bubble for a while. So, nah, I think people should strap up, bro.
I agree. Is that why we have a whole new generation of kids that think it's the coolest thing in the world to just do drugs because they're so far away from the crack era?
I'm 48, man. You know, again, I always rewind back to when I was young and think about older people judging me. And, you know, I just didn't want to hear it. I just think people make their mistakes and everything is relative when they're young. And if they can get through it, you know, they'll learn from it and other people will. So I do think the perspective is different. Like, you know, back in my day, it was about hustling. Mm. It wasn't really about, you know, being a drug addict. It was about selling drugs and making money from it. It was looked at as a sign of weakness to be on drugs. Mm. So the perspective has changed. But, you know, things happen. It's 30 years. So, you got to think, like, I'm 48. So... You know, 30 years ago, if I was like, yo, in 30 years, motherfuckers is going to be crazy and niggas going to be this, that, you know, that's what happens. I kind of saw this happen. Mm. And then, especially when I walked away from the music business, I knew it was going to go amok. But, you know, people have to learn their own way. They have to evolve at their own pace. I'm not here to judge them, really. You know, I was judged, so I will never do so much judging. You know what I mean? I'm still judged. And I think judging is corny. Mm. So when people do things to me that I don't like, and I think are corny, I make sure I don't do those things to other people unconsciously. Mm. So everything I laughed at, I don't want to be. And I see a lot of people that were laughing at the old people in the club, and now they're the old people in the club. Mm. And they are very conscious of it. And I'm like, I remember you really torturing people for doing the same thing you're doing, but you're justifying it for whatever reason. I don't want to be that person that has to take my eyeballs out of my head and look at things different. I keep the same eyeballs. So I could keep my same principles. And, you know, it's not really so much of a fight. You know, I'm a happy guy. I mean, everyone I know is depressed. I'm the only person that's happy 24/7.
Really?
Yeah. And she's been next to me for the last, 11 years, every single day. And she could tell you. Mm. I don't really see why everyone is so stressed and scared all the time.
Is everyone stressed and scared?
Everybody seems soft to me, man. Mm. Everybody's worried about what everybody else thinks.
There's an anxious climate.
Nah, you just, you know, you're programmed to be controlled by fear. But what you fear is nothing. Like, you fearing what people think, that's a choice. Mm. You know, what really happens? Nothing. As long as you're not going to jail and you're not dead and you got all your limbs and it can be fixed, it's really not a problem.
Definitely.
But worrying about what people think is the corniest shit in the world.
Right. Nah, that's real. What do you think of Choke No Joke?
I don't think of him.
Mm. But he seems like you're on his mind.
I don't even know. You see, the thing is, I don't even hear what he's saying. Sometimes people hit me about it and I see it and I'm like, we're not in the same world. Mm. We're not in the same hemisphere. But like, just generally speaking, for another man to be speaking on other men and doing it a lot, you know, how credible could that person be? You know, at the end of the day, I paid Choke No Joke to videotape things. And every bit of footage he had, I paid for. That it's my footage. He's bootlegging my footage if he's using it. And, you know, we got jumped and he ran, and that's what happened. And he also got his ass whipped, you know, by what's the name of them brothers, and didn't do shit. So this is the type of person he is. He's like a punching bag. He has no fucking, like, there's no morals. There's no fabric. He doesn't mind getting his jaw broke. He doesn't mind running on his friends. He doesn't mind speaking on other men. So whatever he's saying, I don't hear it. But like, if I be telling people, they call me like, yo, this dude choke. I be like, yo, if you don't like it, go talk to him. I don't even want to hear it unless you're going to go fix it, because I don't care enough to hear about another dude. You know, like, again, I hired him. He worked for 2 years, 3 years. He ran on a fight. Everybody saw it. He can't get over that. I know, because I seen him run. You know, he talks tough. So maybe if he didn't talk so tough, I wouldn't have been so disappointed when he ran when I was fighting over my camera. You know? But these are the kind of things, like, a man that's talking about other men, even if it's a year later, but, like, who listens to that?
When you tried to...
It's a different world, bro. I don't get in the politics of slave mentality. I don't even hear the language. Again, like, if I were... I can't sit there and listen to another man talk about another man, whether it's me or somebody else. I can't sit... Like, there's a lot of interviews, and I hear a lot of things that people say about me, and I never look at it because I don't want to see gossip about no man, not me or another man. It's just not a very manly thing to do to me. You feel me? Like, I got too much other shit to be worried about than what another man thinks of me or another man. And even wondering why another man hates his life so much that he just wants to talk about other men. Like, talk about some girls or something. Like, damn, this shit was 20 years ago.
Right.
But obviously, oh, look, this is my OG, Daniel. You want to hear OG?
Yeah.
See, this is my OG, Daniel.
Just hold it up to the mic.
Hey, Daniel.
What up, gang?
What's good? We on the radio right now. I was like, I got to stop everything. My OG just called, so we on the radio. What's happening?
My man, what station? What you doing?
No Jumper Podcast.
No Jumper Podcast. It's a big deal.
All right, well, kill that shit. Call me when you finish then.
Well, I mean, how about this? This is my OG, right? He grew up with me.
Okay.
Rather, I grew up, you know, looking up to him and shit. He could tell you my file right now.
Okay.
Ask him anything about me.
Is Dame Dash a good guy? The world seems to want to know.
Say that again?
Is Dame Dash a good guy? Speak on Dame Dash's character.
Is he a good guy?
Yeah.
Is that the question? Is he a good guy?
That's the question, Dame.
Dame is one of the last of the best of us, man. They don't make him like that no more. That's a dying breed you're looking at. He like a dinosaur. You know, up in Harlem, there's so many families, so many different people, so many, you know, different levels of people from ages from 11 years old to 50 years old. Dame been loved for years up in Harlem, not just for, you know, his character, but it's for the things he do for the community. A lot of people don't see behind the screen what's going on. Like, he been helping people, you know, like supporting people, providing work, employment for people for years, but people don't never see that side of him. He's an entrepreneur, he's always growing, but the brother is a real good person inside. Like, there's stories I can tell you about that's, you have brothers that's locked up in jail and they owe their life to him because he took care of them. He made sure that they have what they need. He take care of their families. He still provide them with mental stability, and just when they need somebody to talk to, no matter how big he ever got, he always was there for them. You ain't gonna find them type of characters in the game. Most of these guys in the game right now, they get some money, and then they think it's all about them. You can't talk to them. They can't even go back to their neighborhood. You notice why most guys say they can't go back to their neighborhood? It's because they don't have the bonds and the ties that he do. He could come back to Harlem any day, sit on the corner, and all people would do is come up and want to take pictures. He would never be home. He's a powerful brother. Like, I could go on and on, but they... His character, just know he's a god, man. You know, he got God in his genes, and obviously it's been passed through his genes, his bloodline. It's just in his blood cells. It's his makeup, his DNA. The brother is powerful, man.
Hey, Daniel, tell him what you did on Saturday or Sunday.
Yeah, like, okay, perfect example. I do this cookout called Heaven Up in Harlem. It's a cookout for all the people that passed away in Harlem. Like all the guys that raised us, all the older people, our parents and sisters and brothers, we don't forget them. Like, that's one of the things that we do. We remember the people that taught us and raised us. Those are the people that mean the most. The best people in our lives is gone. You know how they say they always take the good people and they leave us here with the bad people? But that's true. But moving right along, now y'all wouldn't know, Dame was a big part of that. He contribute, he send things, different things to make the cookout possible. All the way from California, he made sure that that still took place. And that's what I mean. It's a lot of things that go on behind the scene people never see. All they see is the bubblegum shit. That's all they want to see. It's entertainment. That's what sells. We understand that. But the people got to understand it's all a game. You know? They always try to make you see a bad part in a person. They don't want you to see the king in him. They don't want you to see the good things. They want to elaborate on negativity because it sells. Now, that's our problem. That's why we got so many chilling black-on-black crime, shit like that, because all we do is promote balance and hate going against each other. The era we come from, it was an era right after slavery. All everybody wanted to do was stick together, protect each other. Gangs was invented to protect the neighborhood, the people in the neighborhood, not to kill each other. See, but that's where we come from. That's the era we come from. So that's the vibe you get from us.
So, Daniel, real quick, Daniel. Uh-huh. Just so I want to just put this in context, right? Mm. So, the person he's talking about that we have in common is Lou Sims, right? Okay. Now, this is Lou Sims. This is a guy that you may have heard in a lot of records. And it just so happens that we've been friends for how many years? And just for Lou, just give a little history of our relationship just so they know how real it really is and why I think that I find shit funny that most people are scared of.
Yeah, I mean, you know, that's one of the guys I was talking about. He's one of them. The brother that grew up in Harlem had a real bad situation. And if it wasn't for Dame, he'd probably be facing the rest of his life in jail. But because of Dame, he was able to make sure that he didn't face the rest of his life in jail. So, you know, this is a guy that's feared. Everybody's scared of him. You know, he's just a good dude. That's my right-hand man. But, you know,
he plays the game kind of rough. He plays the game kind of rough.
Dame mm-hmm. never had to worry about none of these type of guys. For some reason, they all love Dame. Like, Dame always was himself. All the killers, all the tough guys, everybody in Harlem that was, you know, scary to other people, they love Dave. And that's why, look at the character, look at his character. So, you know, Dave could elaborate, and he could tell you firsthand the relationship he had with him. You know, his name is Lou. He should be home soon, and hopefully y'all will be seeing a lot of him. You know, he got a book coming out.
Yeah. You know, there's a lot of redemption going on with Lou. He's a different person.
Yeah, Dame changed his life, man. He really did. And that's what I mean. Like, that's the shit that people don't know. It's a lot of stories like that, man.
So, like
Dame helped change my life. Like, that's my little man when we was growing up as young men. But now as we older, I might be older than him in numbers, but he's still right there with me. You know what I mean? Like, my mentor, he helps, you know, keep me positive, man. When I'm thinking negative, that's the only, you'll be surprised, man. Like, I'll be ready to go pick up the gun or do some dumb shit like everybody else do in the street. And you know who will calm me down or tell me, yo, fuck is you doing? Nah, it'll be Dame. It's Dame, like, out of all people, it's him. So, like, people get caught up in this materialistic world and all the shit that's going on, but they don't know the real character of people. So if I could just let y'all know by telling y'all these stories, I hope y'all have a better picture of my brother because he's an original, man. I love him to death, bro.
There it is. We appreciate that.
Love you, Danny. Love you.
Nah, that's my man right there. Y'all got a real king, man.
Yeah. Appreciate
fuck
you, man.
Fuck all the Jay-Z. Fuck all the Rockefellers. Fuck the music. I'm talking real shit. Like, if you notice, every story I told had nothing to do with the industry. You see what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I'm not going to go too much further. I just wanted y'all to try to get a good, clear picture of what y'all dealing with when y'all look at my brother, man.
Hey, like, I asked for an endorsement. He
like,
came with it.
Pay attention to how he is with his family, yo. Like, that says a lot about any man. If a man don't take care of his kids and don't have the ability, the will, or want to take care of his own blood, that automatically see people not taught that shit. They don't know the signs to look for. If any of you guys out there listening to this shit, and y'all got homies that's running around not taking care of their kids,
coin.
That's a sign right there to show you he don't give a fuck about nothing, nobody. He definitely don't care about you. They just get what they can get from you and keep it moving. That's the game now. But see, Danny, that's another sign of him. Like, he loves them kids and take care of the kids. That's his future. That's what it's about. We don't do this shit for our first name. Tell him, Danny, what we
do. Do it for our last. Honor up. Gotta say honor up.
Honor up.
He wants you to say honor up.
Honor up.
Yeah.
Honor up, man.
Honor up.
And if everybody out there, y'all ain't see the movie yet, then go ahead to the Play Store and download that app, Dame Dash Studios. You got 10 days. You can check it out, get everything free, and see the content. I mean, we got content. You ain't see the movie Honor Up. First thing you do is download the app right now and watch Honor Up.
My nigga. That's
Let's
right.
get it.
That's my OG right here.
Like I said, I don't want to go too much further on the show. I know y'all interviewing my man. But like I said, man, just don't always look at what y'all see on TV and the blogs and all that shit, man.
But you know how I feel about that, Dan. You know I don't be caring.
What a real king is made of, bro. For real.
Thank you, bro. I love you. I'm going to call you after this.
Okay. All right, y'all. Have a good one, man.
All right, y'all. Keep saying bye.
Appreciate you, G.
Bye-bye.
So that's Daniel. He's a legend.
Okay. Who's that exactly?
Daniel, OG Daniel.
Okay.
So, you know, check his Instagram out. But, you know, that was like the voices, that tone, that diction, pause, like that passion. Like, I wasn't raised hearing stupid shit. Like, the real people I was around were the ones that survived, not the stupid ones, the one that was like, put the gun down, but if you have to use it, this is how.
Uh-huh.
You understand what I'm saying? So, again, you know, if you look at him, he's older than me. He's like, you know, you'll see it. If you see the movie, he stars in Honor Up.
Uh-huh.
You know, I made Honor Up without a script. It's just, he came back into my life. I hadn't seen him for about 20 years, and he was the same dude, but stronger. And it just inspired me to just, you know, give credit to everyone that's lived by that code that we signed on to honorably.
Uh-huh.
Because a lot of people don't. And a lot of the people, these like the younger generation, because it's not around them, they don't even understand how ill it is to be honorable. You know, to just live by a code and a creed and to not cheat. And we take pride in that as men, you know, not bending over, you know, telling somebody that somebody else would look up to because they could cut them a check. Fuck you. You know, we do that, but only for love. And this motherfucker's mad tough for love. Like, you got to see, like, you know, like I said, he gets 1,000 people around me. Everybody love each other. Like, we like gangsters for love. You know, that's all it's about.
You still think about Harlem a lot?
All day. How can I not? That's a regular phone call. Like, I still talk to my friends in Harlem. Like, I could call them all, and it won't be like, oh, I ain't talked to you in a minute. It'd be like, yo, we just talked yesterday.
Right.
So you would be surprised at all the politics that go on in Harlem, and when someone gets killed and things happen, I usually hear about it first. And I'm the guy that'll be like, yo, come out here. Come out here. It's getting too crazy out there. You know? Because that's not what we're here for. We're not here to spread pain. We're here to spread love. We don't get famous to go to jail. You don't get famous to have to pick your gun up.
But
you get famous so you can relax.
You love Harlem so much. Is it ever odd being so far away?
No.
I know you go back and everything.
Nah,
but
I love my high school too, but I ain't going back there all the time. I'm out here. My kids is out here. I send back gifts. I bring them out here. Like, the people that are in Harlem that never leave Harlem, I'd be like, yo, let me show you what a fucking ocean look like instead of that river. You know what I'm saying? Well, I'm going to go back. When I go back, I come back with like a Team Rock. Like, I come back with some with gifts, and I'm not going to come back stunting on everybody and making everybody mad. But when I do go back, I go back and have a whole, like a whole, you know, I love my block. 142nd Lennox, I love it. I love those motherfuckers. Those are the most loyal, most with character, honor, everything. I never seen people that loyal.
Yeah.
And definitely. There was loyalty before the music, you know, Big L, all of that. We all grew up together.
Yeah. People actually were really requesting that. They wanted to hear you talk about Big L.
Yeah, that was my man. You know, it's tragic. That block is crazy. You know, you really look under the hood of that block. The politics are incredible, you know, but it's just a cycle. They just, you know, a lot of civil war in that block. It gets real gangster. But, you know, Big L, we had plans. You know, I was about to sign him.
Yeah, that's a real shame that we never got to see what he was really capable of on a larger scale, huh?
Yeah, yeah. You know, he would have been a legend. He is a legend.
Yeah.
You know, definitely. Again, when an angel gets taken, it's for us to learn from it.
Mm.
You know, so it's not in waste or in vain. So hopefully, you know, he got taken tragically just like my angel Leah. And hopefully people learn from it. It's not in vain. You know, pain is for fucking people to learn.
Mm.
And the people that go through pain, they go through pain because they're strong enough to survive it so other people could know how.
Definitely. Yeah, you got any last words you want to wrap this up with? I really appreciate you coming through and sharing your perspective with us.
I appreciate it. Well, like I said, you know, the streaming service is Dame Dash Studios, but I'm actually launching the 24-hour network. The first market is going to be Charlotte, you know, because I got a lot of, I was out there for a while with Jay Black and Bootsy, and I want to really get good at it, and then it'll be 24 hours will be available nationally, but you could get the streaming service at Dame Dash Studios. And then after that, I'm going to focus on the Poppington of it all.
Okay.
You know, my bespoke line, what I'm wearing, everything I wore, I made very bespoke. You know, I designed
it. A lot of people want to know about your son's cookie brand as well.
He doesn't do the cookies anymore.
Oh, it's over? Okay.
But what he did was, you know, he got into the shit everybody else got into with the drugs. And he went to rehab and got himself together, learned from it. So he just bought a building and he's opening up a rehab.
Really?
Yeah. So, you know, he's very entrepreneurial. In a very rock star way, and I'm proud of him. And you can see all that shit on Growing Up Hip Hop. You know, this is our fifth season on the WE Channel. I got this other TV show called OG Gangsters that I'm about to have on television on WE Channel as well.
What was it like seeing him have to learn that lesson for himself?
It was defining. It was humbling.
Mm.
You know, it was me having to have faith in God that he'll be protected. You know, but we all go through it. It's just a lot of us don't have people around that care to worry. But, you know, he's a Dash. He's going to get through it. And he did. And usually we don't ever consider our elbows losses. We consider them learning experiences. So if he was, like, you know, on the wrong path on the drug side for a minute and was able to rebound from it quickly and turn it into a profitable business by helping people and also picking up a nice piece of property... At that age, it becomes me being very proud.
Yeah.
So it's almost like you have to say, okay, this is his lesson. Can he pass it? And if he does, what will he be? Look what he is.
As much as you might want him to be able to just know everything that you know and be able to
impossible.
Just...
Impossible.
Yeah, it's just it doesn't work that way.
Nobody can know what I know.
They got to learn the lessons the hard way, huh?
Yeah. I mean, life is meant to be a lesson. It's always a test. And we all have different sets of problems. They're all relative. He doesn't have the same kind of problems that most kids have, but he still has them, you know, and they still hurt him just as hard as, you know, other things hurt other people. I can sometimes be desensitized because of the things I've seen.
Mm.
You know, again, for me, it's like, you're not dead. You're not in jail.
You made it.
You're all right. Life is good. Enjoy it. Marinate with it. Because there are going to be tragedies in life. People die. You're going to feel pain. That's guaranteed. You can't control it when it happens. And between the times when you control it, makes the most sense to be as happy as possible. Because usually what happens is some tragedy happens and you're like, damn, I was so bothered about some bullshit. I wish that was all I was bothered about right now. And then you appreciate your problems, but you're in a place of pain. Appreciate your problems now.
Right.
Enjoy your problems because they're not problems. They're just fucking learning experiences. They're just tests. Life is not meant to be fucking easy. And some people I see just make fear, make their life harder. And don't be scared, you know, and sometimes you gotta let go of the past. You got to put shit in your rear view. You're going to got to look back at it to learn from it. You know, I'm a time traveler. I always look in my future. That's why I'm always excited, because my future looks good. I ain't worried about my past. It doesn't affect anything but my present. My future is going to be what's affected by what I do in my present. You know, everything that I'm here, I'm sitting here because everything I did in my past.
Right.
But what I take and do with this is going to affect my future. And that's all that really matters.
Well said. Appreciate your time, man.
Thank you, bro. When you coming down to my spot in Burbank?
Whenever you're ready, let's do it. I bet.
So let's get, and I've also got a gift for you.
Book it, Laura.
Because look, check it. Because, you know, I'm like, this is like if Ralph Lauren had a television network and he could do collabs with himself.
Excellent.
That's what this is.
It's like you could tell that I needed some drip.
All made in America. Yo, what?
Dead
did
right.
Did they really run in here? Was that like a thing when they ran in here with the...
No, that was real, shit? Yeah.
That was real? Word?
I'm widely hated, apparently. Somebody wanted to take my life.
Well, you're pretty brave. You're still here. I don't see
no... I ain't scared.
I can dig it.
He's lucky he didn't die.
See? You don't seem like a victim.
No. Fuck that.
So why are you asking me victim questions? That's a test?
I don't know. I'm a media guy.
Test? Media testing guy. Me to see if I'm a victim?
I'm trying to find out if you got any vulnerabilities.
Let me. I mean, I have vulnerabilities, but I'm not scared of them. I embrace them.
Ooh.
Take a little bit of that. That came from Emerald Farms. These are the same people that grow the King Dusko.
It's a good looking nug.
Like, you know, take that too. Now, right. I suggest take that you go home with that. This is like for professional. Where's my other man at? Oh, yeah, too. Let me look at my
man. Man, I don't know. I've been smoking pretty tough doing interviews.
Yeah,
out here
make too. Sure he gets some too.
Oh, okay. You want to get some too?
Take some for your crew.
I don't know if I don't know. This might stay with me.
Take some. I want y'all to all see what this is.
We'll put it in a wood.
I just want y'all to know what I'm smoking. All right. Right? Jay, I want y'all to know what I'm smoking.
Jay, here's your blunt assignment.
Roll that up. But, you know, get a seatbelt or something.
Just like that. Dame Dash.
Hey, let me ask you a question. How do you make bread here?
YouTube ads. Actually, I'm going to be inserting an ad for these delicious pens, Eagle Energy.
So would you
sell a lot of clothes out the front, though. That's kind of our main thing.
That's the main thing is the is it volume or is it like enough? Like, what is it?
It's a little more high end. We just sell, you know, T-shirts that represent the brand, you know.
What kind of bread are you making?
Wonder bread, you know, decent bread.
But we all have to wonder what you make.
Wheat bread. Yeah.
Nah, the reason why I'm asking is, you know, a lot of people aspire to be a YouTuber.
Yeah.
And you're not a YouTuber, but you're like, she was real excited, Kelsey. Come here, Kelsey.
We're definitely YouTubers. We got 3 million subscribers.
Come here, Kelsey.
But yeah, you know,
how profitable, and I'm asking because I don't know.
It's not great. If this interview got 1 million views, we would make maybe $2,000 off it. So that don't really go too far. 1 million views is a lot of views.
But if, does that happen for you often?
If we really knock it out of the park, you know, I got a Young Thug interview that did 1.5 million.
How many times a month do you do that?
I mean, in a total month, we might get 20 million views, 30 million views, something like that.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's cool, but at the same time, you definitely got to diversify those income streams with the merch, with the advertising for various products like At My Eagle Energy.
So let me ask you a question.
Yeah.
What your future, do you want to evolve this to like a TV show? And, you know, what do you want to do?
Maybe if the opportunity presents itself, but my whole thing, really, I just want to create like raw content that documents hip-hop, underground, the culture, and I don't want to ever enter into any sort of corporate situation that's going to in any way constrain what I'm trying to do, because I don't think anybody understands what I'm trying to do.
Why did corporate have to be in the conversation?
You know, I mean, TV. You start talking about TV, you start talking about production, all this bullshit that I just don't want anything to do. I want to make the raw shit.
The thing is, you're making production right now.
Yeah.
Those are cameras. You're streaming, you're distributing. You know, that's all it is. It's just having bigger distribution. And evolving the quality of what you're doing and just getting it on bigger platforms.
Let's have that conversation.
You want to talk?
Let's do it.
All right.
Appreciate you, man.
I appreciate you.
Dame Dash.
It's good money.
Legendary. No Jumper. Coolest podcast in the world. Check us out on YouTube, SoundCloud, iTunes. Like, comment, and subscribe. NoJumper.com to support the merch. Shout out to My Eagle Energy. Dame Dash. Appreciate you, G.